Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. For this podcast episode, I am more delighted than usual to introduce Amanda Abel for the main reason that this is probably about take five of this conversation. So just as the new year is about to kind of pop its cork, we have managed to schedule this this podcast conversation, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a bit of a ripper. Amanda's a psychologist and the founding director of the Northern Centre for Child Development in Preston in Melbourne, Australia. And in deciding what we'd talk about, we thought we'd just throw ourselves headlong into the year that was, because there's been some highlights and I suspect there's been some steep learnings. And Amanda was just saying she's sitting to write her Christmas cards and is in quite a reflective kind of mode at the moment anyway. So welcome, Amanda.
Thank you, Kathy. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. It's been a series of technical fails and changed appointments and all the rest of it, but we have connected. We are persistent women.
Yes.
Before we get all excited about the year that was, tell us a bit about, do you call it NCCD? What do you?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes, because it's a mouthful otherwise. So we are a team that has grown. At the moment, we're calling ourselves a multidisciplinary pediatric practice. So that kind of summarises what we are and what we do. There's myself and a couple of other lovely psychologists, and our incredible admin lady Andrea, who I call the boss. And we're really lucky to have a couple of paediatricians that work with us, and a really lovely speech pathologist and occupational therapist as well. So we're a nice little team crammed into our Preston practice.
Yeah, you're probably almost growing out of it, I suspect, hearing that big roll call. Yeah. When did it all start?
Oh, gosh. So it started about probably 3 or 4 years ago. I'm a bit vague about it because it started as me working as a sole trader, practicing under my own name out of a consulting room in a chiropractic clinic. I've probably told you, Kathy, about the awkwardness of taking my gorgeous little ASD kids through my room was off the consulting room that the chiropractor used, and some lovely, nice, direct comments that
unfiltered comments.
The people lying on the old chiropractic adjustment table. So I started there just doing my own thing, and then sort of demand exceeded what I could provide, and then I was really lucky to have some other psychs interested in working with me, and then we got our practice in Preston 3 years ago now, and kind of it changed from there. We developed the name of Northern Centre for Child Development, and it's kind of just been on fire since then, exploding in a good way. Yeah.
Firecrackers. So what is it that you guys do that's wonderful?
Look, I think part of what we do that is a positive is that we try to just be ourselves in the support that we provide for families, and that's kind of been my, I don't want to say motto, but, you know, my aim, I suppose, in terms of providing services to families is about being transparent and being ourselves and being down to earth and relatable but with our clinical knowledge. So, you know, hoping that what we provide to families is something that is meaningful to them, approachable and yet still really valuable in terms of the knowledge and expertise that we supply.
Yeah. So 4 years down the track, does it remotely resemble what you set out to do?
It does, yeah, which is really funny because you're probably going to ask me if I've done my business plan yet.
No, and I not haven't. Tonight. Not tonight.
But if I had have done a business plan,
it would have just looked like
totally
this.
What it would have been. It is amazing that it's ended up being, you know, at this stage what I wanted it to be.
So how do you reckon that happened?
I, as we were saying, I am in this reflective mode at the moment, and I think that so I've learned a lot about myself, and I think something I have established is that I'm quite obviously quite persistent and a lot more driven than I ever thought I was. And I think I've sometimes have been a little bit like a dog with a bone and have just kept working for it. And, you know, how has it happened? Opportunities have come up. And I've taken the ones that, I mean, I've taken some really dodgy ones as well along the way. But, you know, where we are now is a reflection of all of those choices that I've made. So, you know, mostly good ones.
Mostly good ones. Ooh, yeah. Mostly good ones. What do you know now about the business of private practice that you perhaps didn't even know a year ago or 2 years ago?
So much. you know, you don't graduate with any of this knowledge. And, you know, in the first half of my career was spent, you know, in the public health system or, you know, the educational system. So what I know now, gosh, well, I'm a lot better at accounting. So that's really good. You know, marketing, managing staff, that's probably the biggest thing that you think would come naturally, but it doesn't. It's so much more about management and organisation and balance and managing conflict and, yeah, lots.
Lots. And it's never ending. We've sort of spoken about this. Yeah. You just get one little ring around your tree and then there's a whole other layer of good stuff to be learning. And I say this sometimes when I'm doing clinical supervision work, that nearly always your clients will teach you what you need to know. And I guess it's somewhat the same with your team, whether contractors or employees. They will nearly always teach you what you need to know, even if that's not what you want to know.
Totally. And even if it means if they're expensive lessons to learn, that is so true. And even this year in particular, as you know, it's been quite a big one. And, you know, I've learned so much. And, you know, I am a person that unfortunately needs to learn through experience. So, you know, You pick up these lessons from the people around you and that totally informs your future decisions.
What have been the bigger lessons this year?
I think the biggest lesson this year has been about trusting my gut and my instinct. And there have been a couple of blunders this year that have come from me not listening to my gut. They were quite challenging lessons to learn that related to making poor decisions about staff. And, you know, I think I'm quite lucky to have learnt it in my third year of working. So that's, you know, these are decisions and mistakes that hopefully I won't be making again in the future. So how lucky am I that I've made them now and I've learned from them at this point?
Sure. And if we kind of look on the shiny side, what's just delighted you in the last year?
You know what's really funny? It sounds a little bit ego-driven, but having this brand that has become recognisable has been an unexpected delight because I was not expecting that. I kind of always thought I would be flying under the radar, but, you know, our practice has become probably a bit more prominent than I thought it would be. And, you know, hearing that people are talking about it and, you know, referring to us and, you know, that has been so unexpected and such a delight, because it's like, I can't believe that I actually created this from the start. Like, this was me deciding whether or not to sign a lease and thinking, fretting about the money and all of that kind of thing. And now it's at this really lovely sort of sweet spot where, you know, it's recognised and people know who we are.
I want to keep you on your soapbox for a moment. How do you know that you're known?
It trickles back. It trickles back through feedback from sort of other professionals who are telling me, you know, people are talking about this place, or, you know, people are saying, wow, are you working there? Or, you know, I've got some little sneaky little people on Facebook groups that might sort of hear what the mums of the region are talking about and that kind of thing. So it's kind of a little bit sneaky, but, you know, yeah, so it kind of just trickles through, yeah.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Very well done. Are you super busy on Facebook at the moment?
Generally, I go through spells, as you may have noticed. We tend to have like a quiet week and then a busy few weeks. So, and normally that quiet week is the week where I had finished my scheduling and forgot to get back on and schedule again. So, yes.
The content you put up is absolutely lovely, and it's unusual. I don't know where you find it, how you find it. You must have some secret sauce Google words that you put in. Does it take you ages to do?
No, I kind of collect things along the way and then, you know, go through and schedule. So I might, this might, my glamorous Saturday night might be sitting at my dining table with a glass of wine and scheduling my posts and sharing all those things that I've been collecting.
Such is the glamorous life of a private practice owner.
Yes. But you know what, Kathy? I enjoy it. So, and that's one of the things that I think has meant I've been able to sort of keep going at this rate for this amount of time, is that I find enjoyment in different parts of the job and different parts of being a business owner, or I'll adapt it to make it enjoyable. And then it's not arduous. It's something I enjoy.
Yeah, I get that. I think I'm curious. I'm always, having a look at the content and what's around and what I haven't seen. I'm quite intrigued by who's got what out there. Are you writing blogs and doing some of your own content?
Not as much as I should be. I feel like I probably write one post every 6 months. And, you know, if I had some uninterrupted time, I would love to just sit down and just
drive a heap.
Yes. You know, I feel like I've got all this content up here in my head.
Oh, I'm very confident you'd be a beautiful writer and get all that good stuff out. Maybe next year.
Yeah,
on the business plan. That's it. Yeah. Plan done. Tick, 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 tick. What difference do you think the Facebook content and posting makes?
My goal with it was brand awareness.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily about engagement, although that would help. But it's been about brand awareness and getting our name out there. You know, that is the sort of blunt truth. But secondary to that has been, and again, unexpected, that, you know, I've seen some really nice engagement amongst our followers, who some might be clients or not, who knows. But, you know, seeing that the community kind of can connect a little bit in that way.
Such a lovely value add to your current clients. The content that you post just beautifully matches, as I imagined in my head as an outside observer, the sort of work and guidance that you would be offering with your clients. So it's a real extension of what you're doing in your one-on-one and in your group work.
And I think sometimes that can be, I guess, even something that I need to be mindful of, is that anything that I share, I really do have to read My mum doesn't believe that I actually read everything that I post. But
you do, particularly the ads at the bottom and the links.
And just, you know, because, you know, what the service that we provide is quite unique in that we do have a really eclectic mix of the theories and sort of practices that we encourage. And so I always want to make sure that I'm not posting something that is sort of detracting from that or contradicting the message that we spend all day trying to encourage.
Absolutely. So if I think back to your team, you must be bursting at the seams. How are you guys working towards a whole child approach and really teaming around the child? I'm asking this question more and more when I meet business owners who've got the OT, speech, psych, ABA therapist as well you've got in there. Because just, you know, my inner critic, just because you're under one roof doesn't mean there is great intentional teaming.
Exactly. And that we've learnt through experience. So one of the things that we aim to do, and we're pretty good at doing it actually, but I'd like to get better at it, is having our case discussions. So we meet weekly and do the old school sit down with a pen and paper and your client list and go through your cases and talk about them. And, you know, it can be really hard though, because not everyone's available every week and we don't all work together and we're all really, really busy. So we rely a lot on phone calls and emails between each other. So, you know, particularly with our pediatricians who are, you know, when they are in the office, we get like a few fleeting minutes together, you know, and then we're in sessions together or whatever it might be. So it's very much about emailing, phone calls. But we do, as I said, we do sessions together. So our paediatrician and myself, we do the feedback sessions for families together when we're giving a diagnosis, which is, I think, really, really nice.
Wow.
Yeah, so we learn a lot from each other, but also, you know, it's really nice for the families, I think, to have that. Both of those approaches together.
Yeah. How on earth did you snaffle up not just one paediatrician but two?
I don't know, Kathy. I don't know how that happened. Don't know, but it just has added so much to our practice, and I think that might be why I've learnt a lot this year as well in terms of my clinical knowledge, because it's just adds a whole nother dimension to how we work.
And what's that dimension? How's it changed?
I think it's given me a lot more medical knowledge, you know, in terms of being more aware of that more medical side of things. Opens me up, you know, and I mean, this is not just necessarily about pediatricians, but this is also about having, you know, a lovely speech pathologist or OT on the team, but about increasing your knowledge about all the other services that are available or funding options or, you know, X, Y, or Z. So, you know, it improves how we work because we're all sharing so much knowledge. It takes me back to the days of working on a multidisciplinary team, at, you know, in my first job at Frankston, specialist children's services, you know, and like there was, it's like this again, you know, where we all get to sit around and maybe it's not sitting around, maybe it's emailing, but share our knowledge with each other.
I used to work at Frankston Specialist Children's Services.
No way.
Yes way.
When?
Oh, so long ago.
Oh, so not, when was I there? Oh, can't even remember when I was there.
I'm going to go about, I was there 94.
Oh, okay. I think I was 10 years after. 10 years later.
Moving on. So yeah. I want to go back to the paediatricians and we'll just delete that bit. Sure. What have the paediatricians learned about allied health, do you think?
Oh, I think it's been really interesting, particularly with the services that we provide. So, you know, we obviously provide like psych assessment and counselling, paediatric counselling, parent support, but one of the services that we provide is ABA supervision. And that has been really interesting because ABA can get quite a bit of a bad rap, and it's been really interesting seeing the growth in the knowledge of the paediatricians in terms of, the, I mean, what we provide probably isn't your traditional ABA, you know, that might be around with some of the really big ABA providers. But so seeing their knowledge there increase, I think, has been really good. But also just little things like understanding the assessments that we do, and you know, understanding which assessments do what and why we do them and why we might not do them, or what we need from them to help us with doing them and that kind of thing. So I think as much as I'm learning about their field, they're learning from ours too.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, love it. So let's kind of pull on our manager hats for a moment. Sure. They probably won't be on for too long. What does your week look like in terms of home and motherhood and being a boss and being a clinician? How does that all glue together nowadays?
Well, so it's kind of like a bit of a tightrope balancing act. Some weeks it comes together really well, others not. Like, for instance, this week I was thinking, oh, gosh, driving into work at, you know, 7:30 on Tuesday morning and thinking, I am superwoman. Like, you have got this, Amanda. You're driving in. You're going to have a really busy day. I'm dressed. I had a shower. I've got clean hair. You know, I can't remember. I had all these other things organized, and then an alert comes up on my phone at 10 o'clock to take my daughter to swimming, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, I forgot to tell my mum who's babysitting that she's supposed to be at swimming at 10 o'clock. So parenting fail. Yep. But what does it look like? So I technically work 3 days a week. My daughter has just finished kinder, but I was working between 10 and 2, 3 days a week seeing clients. And you're cramming everything into those mothers. You know, and then I would sort of pick her up, come home, do all the motherly stuff, have dinner, pop her to bed, and then sometimes I might just relax, or sometimes it might then be doing a little bit of work in the evening. I don't see that as a particularly negative thing. I've been able to sustain it for 3 years. You know, I'm not working a 10-hour day and then coming home and sitting in front of my computer. You know, so I'm opportunistic and I grab moments that I can do things as they pop up. Yeah,
absolutely. I think if stuff needs to be done, it needs to be done as long as there's some boundaries around it.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's important for other people in the house to know what those boundaries are, and that if your work night is Tuesday night, while it's not super, super perfect, maybe it is for you, and that's what makes a difference, and off you go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I probably, on my days off when I'm not at work and I'm at home with my daughter, I will take calls from the office, not from clients, but I will take calls from the office, because sometimes it's just easier for me to answer a two-second question than for, you know, Andrea at the office to sit with this growing to-do list of things she can't action until she's spoken to me. You know, and I you know, sometimes I explain to people that I am probably that mum at the playground on my phone talking to, you know, a doctor or the admin lady or whoever it might be, and coping with the judgmental glares from other people around. Okay. And my answer to them is that how lucky am I to have a job and have a lifestyle that I can spend time with my daughter and yet still get my job done, and, you know, do a good job of both. And if that means that I spend 3 minutes on my phone while she's off doing her thing at the playground, so be it.
Absolutely. You've alluded to your awesome admin a couple of times now. Yes. What difference has amazing admin made to you personally and also as a business owner?
So, I mean, on a personal level, stress reduction, absolutely. So there's things now that I don't even do at all. I don't even think about, because Andrea, my awesome admin lady, does it all for me. So the stress reduction has been by far the best benefit. I mean, I couldn't even do what she does. I wouldn't even have the time. She's there 4 days a week. She's there more than me. That has been by far the best benefit. As a business owner, you know, if you think about your hourly rate as a practitioner and how much, you know, just from a black and white numbers perspective, is it worth me spending my time seeing a client, or is it worth me filing or answering the phone? You know, the amount that you pay an admin person versus what you can bring in, it's a no-brainer. Yeah. So, you know, I think it is really important to have an admin person who is very clear about the field and the job that you do and is able to, you know, answer questions and provide insight into what the organisation provides. You know, I think there's probably a lot of admin people out there that maybe don't do that. And so, you know, I'm so lucky that I have awesome admin. You know, we could probably do with more admin sometimes. So, you know, that'll be our next challenge, but it is priceless, absolutely priceless.
Yeah. It comes with the need for quite a bit of training. And I guess to be able to train your admin people, you need to be pretty clear about some of the content and principles yourself and to know your practice management software and what you need done. Was that your experience as well?
Yes. Well, see, I was in a very fortunate position to have an admin person from a previous workplace who had unfortunately lost her job, not through her own doing. I was really lucky that she was able to join my team. So she had been working the job for years. So I was really lucky that she came to me with all this knowledge. Then we had to shape some of it because obviously I do do things differently. Mm. But one of the things that comes up is, like, she will ask questions that I won't know the answer to because we haven't come across this before, you know, in the early days. So, you know, what do you do when this happens? I don't know. We haven't done it before. Quick, let's work it out.
And then what would you do?
Add that to the run. Yeah, what do you think? I don't know, but let's add that to our running procedure manual that we've got going and, you know, tick that one off, done. So, you know, a lot of it comes up, you know, it's problem solving on the fly.
Yeah, and it's about that continuous improvement as well and having that mindset of we haven't got it all right now, but we are so further down that road than we were 3 months ago, 6 months ago. And I can imagine your policies and procedures, if you were to print them out, are way thicker than this time last year because we've had the NDIS coming closer to the front door as well. So there's always constant changes.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, just as we were saying earlier, every lesson that we learn creates about five or six new policies and procedures. So we are very lucky as well, or not lucky, but smart in that we outsource our HR with the HR Advice Online people. So that's another, you know, your admin person can't be expected to be a HR guru. And neither am I. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a HR person. You know, so that is another absolutely priceless piece of advice as well.
Yep, absolutely agree. That monthly membership, you know, you're squared away. You can get support with contracts and interviewing and different employment situations and all the rest of it. Yeah. And all of that stuff is legally binding. So you really need to have that person in your back pocket.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Are you comfy to talk a little bit about some of the really interesting workshops and ways that you support parents?
Sure. Is it interesting?
I think it's really interesting because I know you didn't do your parent retreat this year.
No.
To share up a little bit about what you did last year.
Funny you should ask because I was just thinking about this. It's a bummer that we didn't get it happening this year, but we will next year. So the parent retreat was designed as a way to give parents some time out in a environment that was maybe a little bit more luxurious than what they might experience on a day-to-day basis, and to provide them with some support, some you know, education, and just some loveliness, basically, you know, as a way, I guess, to provide them with a break. It was designed to give them a mental break So we did, it was last year, I think, that we did it. And we had a beautiful room out of the winery, a lovely function space and beautiful decor, some great speakers, including you, Kathy. And, you know, some beautiful food and wine and all the rest of it. And the feedback we got from it was just 100% positive, which was incredible because I was kind of expecting there's always going to be unhappy people, but there was none of that. So it was absolutely incredible to kind of, you know, give back to the families a little bit in that way.
Yeah. It was one-day event, wasn't it?
One day. They had the option of staying over, so a couple of families did, and then some of the families even then went back a couple of months later to the same venue and stayed with their family there and
had a
weekend away. So it was, gave us the warm fuzzies.
Yeah. What are your motivations for doing it differently next time but doing it again next year?
Yeah, so what I would hope for next time is maybe to not run at a loss financially.
Oh, okay. We have work to do. Okay.
That would mean that we can do it more. Yep. But, you know, the goal of it wasn't to wasn't to get a profit last time, so I knew I would run at a loss. So that would be my first goal.
Very reasonable.
But I think, you know, in doing it again, pretty much everything that we did worked out very well. You know, it would really just be about there are some topics that were raised that I think are very relevant and that we would really like to cover in more detail next time. Yeah.
Did you get many dads going along?
We had one dad. We had two, but one was the husband of a speaker who came along. Oh, was there three? No, two. There were three. So, which was so nice, but, you know, it would be great to have more dads there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've also had some fun learnings with delivering some workshops too and information sessions.
Yes. So, I mean, one of the things that I really like about my job is that being able to provide sort of training for professionals or for parents and support in those kind of formats. So we did do some, I teamed up with a speech pathologist and we did one at a children's hospital, the function space there, which was, again, another really big success and had a nice full room, which is great because you have sort of like event anxiety and think, is anyone actually going to buy any tickets to this? You know, and again, the goal there was about sharing the information and brand awareness, and it's not always about making a profit. And I think, again, a side note, if we're clear about what the goal is, then that's okay.
Oh, exciting. What's next year going to look like?
I'm hoping that next year is going to look like a continuation of the past couple of months, which have been really smooth sailing. Fingers crossed that it kind of continues. I feel like we're kind of just got the wheels going. It's really, you know, flowing along nicely. And, you know, I took my first holiday a couple of months ago for the first time first overseas holiday since my honeymoon 7 years ago. So, you know, and to have gone away and for things to have still, you know, continued on nicely at work, it was a big eye-opener for me. And so I'm hoping that next year will provide more of that balance for me as an individual. You know, I think there might be some nice, you know, opportunities for growth next year, and just want that continuation of niceness and keeping things contained to my, you know, awesome team that I've got.
Yeah. Are you going to use your time differently? Are you going to challenge yourself in some different managerial kind of skill development things?
It's a good question because it's at the forefront of my mind. My daughter has just finished kinder, so she's going to start school next year. it's been an anxious time in the household. And not for her, for me. And, you know, one of the questions people keep asking is, oh, cool, so you're going to work full time now? And my answer is, I don't know.
Possibly like, not.
I mean, if we counted up how many hours I'm doing now anyway, it's probably close to full time. But, you know, I think my goal is to keep balance and continue to enjoy what I'm doing, which means having time away from it. But, you know, from a professional sense, I think clinically I'm at a point in my career, I think they call it mid-career, when you go and do your little APS survey every year. And so I'm at this nice kind of sweet spot in my career where I'm finally kind of feeling a bit more confident, you know, but still open to learning so much more. So I'm kind of hoping that professionally, you know, as a clinician, I can do some different trainings and things next year, and kind of open myself up to some, yeah, different ways of doing things. As a business person, yes, there's probably going to be lots to learn and do. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting, this sort of default thinking that you would go back to work full time?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's why I have slogged it for the past 3 years, so that I could work full time when my daughter goes to school. No way.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, Kathy, I've never worked full time. So from when I first graduated, I've only ever worked a maximum of 4 days a week. And that was because I knew that if I worked 5 days a week, it would be too much. And I didn't want to get used to the financial benefit of working 5 days a week. So I've never missed it. So I've actually never worked 5 days a week. So I actually don't know what it would be like. And yeah, you know, let's keep that up, Amanda.
Yeah.
You might call me slack.
Next post-it note on the business plan. Yeah, 3 days in, 2 days out, whatever. Or I guess you can sort of work the middle of some days and got all that flex. That's so it's a bit of a turning point in terms of those hours you start off in February could well dictate the whole year.
That's it. Don't what do they say? You know, start out how you
mean to proceed. Start how you mean to proceed.
Yes, that's it. So be mindful.
Who, if you could and money was no object, who would you love to add into your team?
Oh, wow. This sounds a bit corny, but I really love my team the way they are. I think the team we've got at the moment is actually brilliant, and everyone brings something to our practice. I don't think I would want any more than what we've got. I think, you know, everyone functions so beautifully. Financially, you know, if money wasn't an option, I don't think it's ever anything that you really, you know, if you came across someone amazing and they cost heaps, then you would just do it, wouldn't you?
I'm sort of hearing a little bit about dietitians joining teams and music therapists and art therapists. Social workers to kind of assist families navigate NDIS. And what we call a multidisciplinary team now is still quite old-fashioned medical model stuff, isn't it?
It is.
I wonder if that's going to change in the next few years. I kind of hope it does.
Yeah, and look, I think you're spot on with things like art therapy and music therapy, which, you know, when I finished school, I started a Bachelor of Music. So I, you know, have this, you know, I like music, I'm into it, I get it. Even I would eye roll at music therapists when that, you know, industry kind of first came out. And now I just think, gosh, isn't that incredible? What an amazing, and those people are so highly trained. That, you know, what they do is incredible. So you know, of course, having disciplines like that on your team would be amazing. Mm. And the same with art therapy. And there's kids that we work with that we have not been able to connect with in some way, and often really hard to reach kids that might have like dual diagnoses of ASD and depression. Sometimes very hard to work with, high-functioning ASD and depression. You know, things like art therapy are incredible for these kids.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd love to have them working with me, but I don't want to clean up after them. So,
and they've got to be perfect for your team.
Yeah, there are, totally.
We have standards and requirements.
Yeah.
I kind of hope that this is one of the collateral benefits of the NDIS, that there is this broadening out of who our little clients need in their lives at different times to be their best selves. And hopefully sort of that core OT physio speech psych group will just release a little bit of ego and judgment over the years and, kind of open the doors to other modalities, if you like. I don't think we're really in a position to comment just yet about what will work with, you know, which little people and which families. So
yeah. And you know, I think that across the board, even with the, you know, the NDIA themselves and the planners, it's about understanding that every little person is so different. And, you know, a psych speech OT model might work brilliantly for one person, but not for another one. Yep. And art therapy or music therapy or whatever it might be, a sports coach or something, if that's what works and helps that person lead a, what do they call it? You know, a life that is reasonable for their age or whatever they say, the NDIA people, you know, if that's what improves the quality of life for that person, then they should have access to that.
Yeah. If we use the NDIA as a bit of a segue, we really can't not comment on it. How's it changing business, the business side of things for you?
I feel like from the outset, we were able to be very clear about what we would and would not provide. Mm. So we did not register as providers, which was sort of on a lot of advice from people that we spoke to. And I am really glad that we didn't register. So, you know, I don't know that it's increased our workload all that much because we previously had DSS Faxia clients. You know, it has increased the report writing, which has been arduous and quite challenging at times, but in some ways it's improving, not improving how we work, but making us a little bit more aware of how we work because we're having to document everything. So having to write a report about how have we worked in a multidisciplinary way, you know.
That's a good thing to be learning.
Yeah, and documenting and going, well, let's reflect back with this client. Like, how did we work in a multidisciplinary way? You know, and thankfully we have been, but if you weren't, then I guess you would be like, okay, these are the things I need to change. So it's in some ways it's making us more aware and you know, improving accountability, I think, as well.
Yeah. And you're coping in all the right ways with the processing and the invoicing and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, well, the benefit of not being a registered provider is that we just take payments and people sort it out themselves.
Yep, true.
There's a lot of third parties, I think they call themselves. And, you know, I mean, gosh, we even had an instance today where we were asked by a third party to take on a family, a child who wouldn't be able to afford the gap. So there's about a $14 gap, I think, for patients that see us that use NDIS funding. And we said no, so that, you know, if they can't afford the gap, I'm sorry, we can't provide the service. And we were asked by the third party to just bill an hour and a half for an hour service. And all the other providers doing it, it's okay. We are not going to do that. You know, because is this scheme even sustainable as it is? Yeah. I don't know. And if people start ripping it off, no, it's definitely not going to be sustainable. Mm. So, you know, there's some there's some griminess about it sometimes.
I think it's got a long way to go. I think it's just finding its little chubby toddler legs.
Yes.
I'm not even sure it's walking or trotting yet. Yes. I think it's just staggering from one piece of furniture
around
the coffee table. Yeah. It's cruising and swiping and things reaching for the Tim Tams. And I think the next 5 years will be fascinating, and that's where the really, really good stuff will come out. And it will also be 5-7 years before some of the really big life-changing outcomes will become apparent, particularly for some of the little people that we work with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's raising some very important issues about the government funding and, you know, who should be covering what as well.
Absolutely.
Particularly when you think about, you know, for us working with young kids, you know, what should the education department be covering and what should the NDIS be covering? And there's some valid points, you know, being raised, and unfortunately there appears to be a gap that no one wants to pay for. But it's, I'm hopeful that it will pave the way for some improvements in
and healthcare. At last that gap and those discussions are happening.
Rather than
parents having to privately fund those services that one agency or the other should be contributing to. Bit of a wait and see. So 2018 is looking pretty bright and shiny. Off to a good start. You're going to keep some boundaries around your hours, and you're going to just tie your team down to their chairs so that no one goes anywhere.
That's it. No one is allowed to leave. No. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm quite excited. I think that it's going to be, I'll wing it as usual a little bit because that's what I do. I'm hopeful it's going to be a year of growth and, you know, excitement.
Yeah. What are you most proud of?
That's a good question. I think it's very small little reminders that I sometimes come across that, you know, as an organisation, we're making changes. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, why do we do this job? Why am I sitting up at 11 o'clock at night writing reports sometimes? You know, it's when you kind of see a family that's come in that's just so happy, or, you know, you see a little child that's made a game. And so I think as a business owner, contributing to that by providing a team and training a team and, I guess in some way having some responsibility for those changes in little people's lives, that is
big feelings.
Makes me very proud.
How do you guys as a team celebrate that?
We have a lot of opportunities, I guess, to, you know, have a bit of banter throughout the day. I'm very what you see is what you get. And I'm always full of praise, you know, where praise is due. So my team will always know if they've done something incredible. And then we do dedicate time to going out and celebrating, things. We just had our Christmas party, and a few times throughout the year we'll have nights out and things like that. And, you know, there's always that opportunity for reflection on, you know, what's the positivity here.
So important. We're always a little overwrought by the to-do list and what's lying ahead that we actually forget about what we've achieved. And it's really easy to forget the little bits and pieces and the little gems and the little inputs and changes we've had in families' lives, and it's really cool to capture them, I think.
It is, absolutely. Yep.
Now, during my podcast, I give my guests the chance to ask me a question. I don't know if I told you that. I knew that was even going to be a thing. Is there anything that you want to ask me?
Oh, gosh, putting me on the spot now. Really could have come up with something to try and throw you. No, I don't know if there is. Gosh, what could I ask you? Don't know, Kathy.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Well, I think at that point, before you think of just the most horrendous curly question thrown my way, I'm just going to thank you for your time. I keep forgetting that it's 3 or 4 years into the adventure because it's just snowballed, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So hang on for the ride. And I love what you say about even without a business plan, it's so close to what you visioned.
Yeah.
That you found great people and great people have found you and that it's all just ticking along and so harmonious. So just gorgeous to get an update on your story. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. All righty. See you later. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Kathy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.